Johnson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, and we probably don't have to tell you if you're living in the southern third or half of the country, it's hot, hotter, and hottest, mostly in the southwest. But the summer's brutal heat is more than just uncomfortable. It has brought serious drought to parts of the Midwest. Correspondent Jim Krasula.
The middle of the country has been extraordinarily dry so far this year. Crops are stressed and rivers are running low. That includes the mighty Mississippi River, which is 10 feet lower than it was this time last year in the lower Midwest and Mid-South.
Around Memphis and Mississippi and Arkansas, they're dredging the channel to try to clear out enough space for the barges to pass through.
Justin Gibbs with the National Weather Service says things aren't expected to improve since summer is normally dry in the region. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
The appointment could get caught in the current one-man Senate logjam on military promotions, but President Biden's made history choosing Admiral Lisa Franchetti to serve as the next chief of naval operations.
This puts her in line to become the highest-ranking Navy officer and the first woman to serve on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Her Senate confirmation hearing could be delayed by Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville, who is holding up hundreds of military nominations over the Pentagon's policy in regard to abortion access.
Correspondent Margaret Brennan. He was a New Yorker who left his heart in San Francisco and his voice for the ages. It has now been silenced. Tony Bennett has died, age 96.
It had to be you.
Tony Bennett got his first recording contract in 1950, but he'd have to wait until 2011 to see his first album top the charts. It was titled Duets 2 and included this collaboration with Carrie Underwood.
It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be.
The entertainer felt great that he was achieving new honors at the age of 85. But then he'd often said that it takes a lifetime to learn how to perform right.
Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez. Perhaps the biggest name in soccer has brought his game to the U.S. to South Florida, and he had it going in his debut. Correspondent Christian Benavides watched.
Lionel Messi made his eagerly awaited appearance with Major League Soccer's Inter-Miami team.
Fans turned the festive atmosphere into a tailgate party.
But it was Messi who was on their mind.
I'm excited to be here because I love Messi.
Well, he repaid that love, entering in the second half and scoring a dramatic game-winning free-kick goal against Cruz Azul in a League's Cup match. And the U.S. Women's World Cup team has opened their attempt to win by beating Vietnam 3-0. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
There's a right way and a wrong way to fight off mosquitoes. Karate chopping the air in a public place in front of your kids and their friends,
Mom,
is the wrong way. Using Stem mosquito repellent is the right way. Stem effectively repels mosquitoes by harnessing active ingredients found in plants like lemongrass and peppermint, making it safe for use as directed around people and pets. Stem, rooted in nature, optimized by science, and embarrassment-free.
Hi, we're Comparian Insurance Agency. Right now you're thinking, Comparian, never heard of them. We know. We also know that you have no idea that Comparian Insurance Agents are local and provide expert advice. So to help it stick, we're going to say local agent 4 times in the next 15 seconds. Ready? Go. Our local agents know you and your community. Our local agents offer insurance from top carriers. Our local agents have minty fresh breath.
Find us at ComparianInsurance.com. Comparian Insurance Agency. Local agents. Expert advice.
And there's number 4.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows of aloft around 56. Overnight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun again. Tomorrow, chance for isolated thunderstorms, highs around 82. Chance for scattered storms. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 57. Mainly cloudy skies.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It is a good word.
It's a wonderful, it just has a good mouthfeel.
La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of our Friday show of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair. And I am very excited for this next topic because as of this week, it's become personal. I went in on Monday because my lease for my VW Tiguan is coming up. And so I wanted to go in and I got it serviced and I wanted to look at what my options were for trading it in. And the salesperson was really pushing their electric vehicle. And I was very open to it, although it is much, even with the $7,500 rebate, it was a lot more expensive. And so I am now weighing my options, but we already had this interview scheduled, so I'm excited to talk to him about it. Gregory Emmett is a professor of public affairs, where his research focuses on understanding the process of technological change and the ways in which public policy can affect it. Welcome to the show, Gregory.
Thank you, Kristen. It's good to be here, especially with a topic that's so close to your
life choices. And so,
yeah.
So you focus on at the UW School of Public Affairs at Madison, Public Affairs, on the policy, how policies affect technological change, right? And it feels a lot right now, at least when you read the headlines, that like the government really wants you to buy an electric vehicle. And in between the kind of the carrots and sticks of incentives for automobile makers, for us as consumers. So what kind of is all out there right now of policy trying to convince people to make the switch?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe I'd just start with the motivation for it. So the motivation for it is to find a way to reduce the health impacts of air pollution and to help the long-term damage from climate change that comes from combusting fossil fuels. And that there's no way around that with an internal combustion engine. You can get more efficient, but if we're trying to get it cleaned up completely, which is really what we need to do and what we agreed to do about 8 years ago, then we need something that's different, that's clean. And that's where electric vehicles come in. And so that's been a big push by the Biden administration. And about 1 year ago, the Inflation Reduction Act was passed, which includes a variety of measures, but one of them was to create incentives for helping people adopt electric vehicles. And so what's available today is a $7,500 tax credit. So that means you figure out what your tax liability is, and at the end of the year, you minus $7,500. If that vehicle that you're buying is an electric vehicle, And if it has enough domestic content, that means at least 50% of it was manufactured in the US and that the materials were sourced from sustainable places as well. And then if it doesn't meet one of those, then you get half of that credit. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for. We're looking at from the policy today.
And that's on the consumer side. Is there stuff that's happening as far as, you know, gas emissions and stuff for like for automakers as far as what they are incentivized to build and keep innovating on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things for automakers. One is we've got what we've had since the 1970s, which is the corporate average fuel economy standards, which have gotten much higher. And so this fits into that and to requiring them to build more efficient cars. But what we really got in a big way in the last year are these incentives to start to build manufacturing in the US, both for batteries and for electric vehicles. So, you know, Ford is just, I think, getting a $10 billion loan to start to develop its electric vehicle manufacturing. There's a lot of vehicle manufacturing happening in the Midwest and especially in the Southeast as well. So on the supplier side for manufacturers, there's a lot of goodies for them as well. And the motivation is that, okay, we need to make this transition. We want to create jobs and we want a lot of it to be domestically sourced as well. And that's a big motivator behind behind some of those policies too.
And so with kind of where we are today, I feel like there's more and more people who are driving an electric vehicle. And I would say from my personal experience of looking at the prices, like it was the first time, I think like I've been someone who's already on board of like, I want to eventually make the switch. I drove the Volkswagen option. It was a very nice car. It's much nicer than the one that I'm driving right now. But then also they gave me, even with like the rebates in there, the difference of what my monthly payments would be for this new car versus if I got another Tiguan. And it's still more money than what I'm paying in gas right now. And so like, where do we have to go for like people who are like me who want, it's not like I'm skeptical of electric cars. I'm not scared that like, it's going to run out of a charge and I'm going to get stranded. Like I want to, but financially it's still more expensive than I'm like, ugh, can I justify this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what you need to look at, I'm not saying you need to look at it.
Yes, but one could look at
is the total cost of ownership, which includes what you're talking about, the upfront purchase of it, and maybe spread over 5 years on a lease or a car loan. But there's much more to it. If you think of the total cost of owning a vehicle, which is, you know, on the order of $10,000 a year, it includes fueling it and maintenance. Those are big costs. And those are ones that are much, much lower for electric vehicles. So the fuel costs are just electricity, which is far, far cheaper than filling it with gas and also not susceptible to the volatility that we've seen in the past where when fuel goes up to $4 a gallon and spending 60 or 70 bucks or more to fill up a gas tank, you don't have that with an electric vehicle and you don't have that over 5 to 10 years of owning the vehicle. So that's where a lot of the savings come. And then the maintenance is way, way lower for electric vehicles.
There's
just fewer parts.
That's
a big difference. And so that's where you need to think about how do those all balance out. And then that's where we start to see that electric vehicles make a lot of financial sense, even if you don't take into account the risks of fuel costs going up, the health impacts that you avoid, and that they are pretty fun to drive. From my own personal
experience, very quiet. It's weirdly quiet. It's just so Jetsons like. Our guest is Gregory Nemeth. He's a professor of public affairs at UW-Madison. We're talking about electric vehicles. My husband got one about 2 months ago, but we had installed the right system in the garage so he can charge it at home. So that's another cost that you have to kind of build in if you're going to do this.
Right. Yeah. You can just plug it in with an extension cord, but to really charge it, you need to put in a higher voltage thing like you would for a laundry dryer where you need that higher voltage to get more of a charge. Yep.
So from a policies perspective, what else do you think needs to happen as far as to continue to push consumers or automakers? Like what's the next step?
Two things I would say. So first of all, we should be clear that the costs have been going down rapidly on batteries for electric vehicles. So a battery pack that now costs $4,000 in a car 10 years ago cost $40,000. And there were people that were paying that, but you don't have to pay that. And it continues to go down. So that goes in our favor without policy. It's just that the costs are coming down. And then second, the federal government has done a lot on the manufacturing incentives and then the consumer tax credits. What states that are really showing a lot of adoption of electric vehicles also have state-level policies where the states are getting ahead of things in terms of building charging infrastructure, and then some have additional incentives as well. And I think that's something that we might look to the Wisconsin Public Service Commission and the electric utilities in our state to say, okay, now transportation is becoming an electricity business. And so we can support that by perhaps providing more incentives, but certainly by providing the infrastructure in the same way that we provide hookups to people's homes with electricity and roads for people to drive. So providing charging infrastructure is going to make adoption progress as well. But that'll come. It's just a matter of whether it comes quickly or slowly, but we need it to come quickly to get the full benefits of this transition.
Because I would say that was one of the selling points of, like, there are like apps now where you can look up, like, where is there a charging station? And not surprisingly, around Milwaukee and Madison, there's a lot. But I needed to know, is there one near Wisconsin Rapids so I don't get stuck in Wisconsin Rapids when I'm visiting my parents? And there is. There's one in Wisconsin Rapids and there's one in Stevens Point. So I was like, all right, well, like, that's, I know that that's usually the furthest I ever have to drive, and it's there. And so it's like, but you need to be able to check those things. And so my last question is, you wrote a book called How Solar Became Cheap, A Model for Low Carbon Innovation. And so as you're looking at what happened with solar and what continues to happen with solar, what are some of the lessons that you think, is there a lot of similarities with electric vehicles? Is there, are they two different beasts, or kind of what lessons can be applied?
Yeah, great question. Huge similarity. So to me, this is the biggest source of optimism I have about dealing with energy problems, is this innovation and cost reductions and performance improvements we're seeing in solar and wind power and electric vehicles and the batteries for electric vehicles. And it's a lot of the same policies that have done it. It means including supporting research and developing new battery chemistries. For example, we're moving away from cobalt right now to lithium, iron, and phosphate so that we don't have to have kids employed in the Congo digging it out with their hands. So we're not using cobalt to a large extent because we've got this new science. So that's really helped manufacturing so that we can get the scale we need to get the cost down. That worked in solar, and people are using the same playbook for electric vehicles, and then getting consumers on board with a technology that seems appealing to them. They talk to their neighbors, they learn from their neighbors, you start to develop dealer networks, you start to have an infrastructure that makes it easy. And so it's really the early adopters, people that got electric vehicles 5 or 10 years ago, that did the hard part. Today, people like yourself are kind of in the intermediate and starting to make things move. And pretty soon we'll have 50% of people buying electric vehicles, which is the administration's goal for 2030.
What is your final question? What is your prediction as far as like what you think will get to like 50% of car owners will be in EVs?
The goal is 2030. I think we're on our way to that. And I think the policies are in place to do that, and the technology is improving. And I think as people learn how they work and see their neighbors do it, it'll go fast. And that's what happened in solar and other things as well. So, I'm optimistic about that.
Another optimist.
I know.
They're out there. It's you got to find them. They're out there.
So much optimism in one day.
Because I will say, I'll give you a shout out for your op-ed for the Journal Sentinel, where it was new technologies, policies, and global commitments give reason for optimism this Earth Day. See, we like optimists here, or at least I do.
Me too.
Gregory Devitt is a professor of public affairs at UW-Madison. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Kristen. You too. Goodbye.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
And if I never had a cent, I'd be rich as Harry Belafonte, with Barry Goldwater at my feet.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays. With WAUK.halfoffdeal.com, you'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and events. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on tickets to the Milwaukee Air and Water Show. July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. That's right, save 50% on tickets for this year's Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd. The Milwaukee Air and Water Show continues to be Wisconsin's premier free family event of the summer and one of the top air shows in the Midwest. Gates open open up at 9 a.m. both days. Have a splash with the water show from 10 to 11:30. Be amazed with the air show at 12 p.m. and witness the Blue Angels around 3 p.m. For more details about the event, log on mkeairwatershow.com. Save 50%. See the show, the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at wauk.halfoffdeal.com. That's wauk.halfoffdeal.com.
This summer, 5:40 a.m. WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 a.m. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 5:40 a.m. WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 59 overnight under mainly clear skies, southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 83. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 61. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
This summer, 5:40 a.m. WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 5:40 a.m. WAUK.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And this is As Goes Wisconsin on Friday in the second half of July.
I know.
I can't believe it.
I can't either. We're almost in August.
We're almost in August. Wednesday I'll be 30 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
Like, we're getting very close.
Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous. I'm very excited, but we've had a very busy summer. Like, we've all, like, every weekend, like this weekend, we're going up to Lac des Flambeaux. And the next weekend, we're in town, but there's like festival. Then the following weekend in Milwaukee is like German Fest, River West 24. Yeah. Like, it's one of those weekends where there's just, it was like kind of so how this much. Last weekend was with Harley.
Yep.
And Bastille Days and everything. And then the weekend after that is Mike's 40th birthday. We're going to Vegas. That's like my last trip. And so then it's like we have a lot to do. I don't know when we're going to do it. It's like, oh, geez.
Well, she's coming whether you're ready or not.
She is. That is true. My brother came yesterday.
Was he surprised by your bump?
Well, he'd seen it before, but the way he greeted me was, God, you just keep getting bigger, huh?
Oh,
and I was like, that's typically how it works, Ben.
And that's a good thing.
And I was like, yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to get smaller until she gets here.
that's a good thing.
And so, but speaking of your weekend, you're going to be at the farmer's market tomorrow.
I am. I'm going to be out at the Waukesha Farmer's Market from 8 until noon. So please stop by and say hello. We usually have candy for the kids. I'll have Tootsie Pops.
Ooh.
Not Tootsie Rolls. Tootsie Pops, which are...
superior.
Hugely popular.
Oh.
Hugely.
What's your favorite flavor?
Cherry.
Cherry. I love cherry. And is it grape? Are the purple blue ones grape?
Yeah, basically? I would say grape. Yes.
I was thinking about this the other day, how grape flavoring, is there any fruit flavor that is more dissimilar to the actual fruit it represents than grape? Like, eating a grape is a very different flavor than grape flavored things.
And even red grapes.
Even red grapes. Yeah. But, like, that's not the case for strawberries or peaches or what? Like, almost.
Or orange.
Or like, almost every other flavor. Like, this. Certainly
true.
There's, like, enhanced and there's more sugar and stuff. But, like, grape flavoring is just a totally different thing than what a grape tastes like.
There's our niche, Kristen. There's our niche. We'll find a true grape flavoring.
Because real, like, grapes actually don't have a lot of flavor.
Not really. They're a little sweet.
They're a little sweet, but I feel like you eat them for the, like, people who like them, at least for me, it's like, their texture is
you pop in your mouth and, you know, but it's not because the flavor is distinct, I think, right?
Well, I don't, I mean,
they're kind of neutral flavor. Like they're not.
But I agree that there is not a true grape flavoring. That's because I always think of Welch's grape juice and that's nothing like the way grapes taste.
No, it's so, yeah.
So anyway, stop by tomorrow at the farmer's market and I'll give you a purple one. And you can tell me what you think it tastes like. And also, if you stop by tomorrow, I will show you the place to get the scone that will change the course of your life.
What is it, the bacon scone?
It's a bacon and maple scone. It is the most, it's so good. It's just, ooh.
Who makes it?
I can't remember.
Well, you'll have to, you'll let us know on Monday.
I'll tell you Monday because I'm going to go introduce myself tomorrow. So come and see me tomorrow, Farmer's Market, Waukesha. It's really wonderful. You name it, pottery and some jewelry and, of course, produce and flowers and all that stuff. And it's a lot of fun. So come out and see me tomorrow from 8 to noon.
And then I think I'm joining you August 12th.
Yes.
I'll finally make it to be a weekend that we're in town.
A one weekend, I'll be even bigger. We can squish it in. Yep. We can squish it in before she comes.
Before she comes. All right. Well, I've talked a lot about Barbie. You seem less enthusiastic about
it. Oh, I loved Barbie when I was a kid.
But are you excited to see the movie?
Sure. I'll see it.
You'll see it.
I've watched the trailers.
Okay.
That look interesting.
Are you excited about Oppenheimer?
Excited is the wrong word.
Will you see it?
I will see it, for sure.
Will you see both in theaters?
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm excited for movies, even though with the SAG and the striking and everything, but... There's been so much buildup for both of these movies, and both have pretty good reviews. Oppenheimer has better reviews so far. But it's also Christopher Nolan, who's just probably arguably one of the best directors alive right now. But also, I think you probably leave the theater with a very different feeling.
Oh, there's no doubt
from
about
one versus the other.
Which is why I will probably like Oppenheimer more.
There you go.
Right. Yes.
But I'm excited for both. I'll probably try to go see both next week. I'm excited to see what kind of turnout these movies get. Because, I mean, the joke has been, at least the online joke has been, this Barbenheimer, because it's, could you have two more conflicting movies that have this much hype around them opening on the same weekend? So much so that there's something like, there's thousands of movie theaters that are offering double features of both.
Oh, wow.
And so I that's what I'm also excited to see is like how many people are out there are so excited to see both of these movies, despite how drastically different they are and how different you feel like their target audience would be.
And maybe go see Oppenheimer first and then go see Barbie so you can leave on a slightly higher note. How about that?
That's an interesting question of which one, if you're going to see both, which order do you see them in?
I think that would be the way to go.
I can see that. I can see that argument. All right. Well, we're very excited. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking to UW professor Christine Whalen, who is a clinical professor of consumer science at the School of Human Ecology, and talking about just what Barbie has meant to our culture. And I think, you know, just truly she's kind of been this, like, in some ways, like a feminist icon, but also not because, you know, unrealistic body image and all of those fun things. So I'm so excited to talk to her when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
The best is yet to come.
Come the day you're mine.
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 Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
If you talk, your name will hear you. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you.
You can do it if you try. Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows of aloft around 56, overnight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest, around 5 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun again, tomorrow, chance for isolated thunderstorms, highs around 82. Chance for scattered storms, tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 57. Mainly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcic-Ski. Currently, it's 59.
And don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hungry for dinner at 8.
I'm starving.
She loves the theater, but she never comes late.
I never bother with people that I hate. That's why this chick is a trail.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And Jane, did you know that Barbie is from Wisconsin?
I knew that there was a Wisconsin connection.
Well, the fictional character is from the fictional town of Willows, Wisconsin, unlike the American Girls, which were originally made in Wisconsin. But yes, so Wisconsin has deep roots with Barbie, and we're so excited to see Barbie. I'm very, very excited to see Barbie, and I'm also excited to talk about the movie with Professor Christine Whelan, who is a clinical professor of consumer science in the School of Human Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we actually got to meet in person a couple weeks ago, and then we talked about this exact topic, and I was like, come on the show, let's talk Barbie, and what a great Friday topic it is. So how are you, Professor?
I'm doing really well. It's so good to be on.
So you've been making the rounds talking about this, which is so funny, because what... As a professor of consumer science and human ecology, like, How does this fit? How does the idea of the movie Barbie and Barbie as a product fit into what you have done your career on?
So I study the self-help industry and the advice industry, the wellness industry, and how we basically try to spend our money to maximize our happiness. And a character like Barbie, a doll like Barbie, is really interesting because it's a consumer product, mm-hmm. right? Parents buy this doll for their children. But it's also so much more. Barbie is the sort of vessel for our hopes and optimism about the future, right? You know, so little girls and boys play with dolls as a way of acting out who they want to be and what they want to do in the world, or some of the difficult feelings that they're having right now. So yes, it's a consumer good, but it's also this idea of self-help and who you want to be and where you want to go. So Barbie is totally right in my wheelhouse. I even wore a Barbie pink for this interview.
I was going to say, for the people who are watching the live stream, you understood the assignment.
Oh, totally. I mean, this has been so fun. I'm taking my kids to see it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I have so many thoughts about this run-up.
So let's hear more about, like, what have your thoughts been as far as, first, the marketing has been, the Supreme has kind of been the topic of the theme of today, but it's been unbelievable what the marketing team has done for this movie up until, obviously, the SAG actors are now not doing that, but they had a good run.
So Barbie and that Barbie pink is so iconic in America that I've seen billboards that are just the color pink. Like, they don't even have to have words anymore, right? So just that color evokes Barbie for us. And this is true even for people who did not play with Barbie dolls as kids. We just know that Barbie equals pink. And what to me, what's so interesting about Barbie is that we've had a love-hate relationship with her since her inception or birth in Willows, Wisconsin. So when Mattel made Barbie, people thought, oh, who really needs another doll? And this was sort of in the post-World War II consumer boom. But it was also a time when we wanted to sort of see a better and brighter future for our country and for ourselves. So the idea that Barbie is from Willows, Wisconsin, she's like the every woman, the every girl. And then she can go to Malibu and drive in her convertible and have her dream house. So it had this idea that women could do anything. We could be anything. Barbie was a president. Barbie was a CEO. Barbie was an astronaut. We could dress up Barbie as anything. So one angle on Barbie is a lot about optimism and about materialism and the consumer culture. Of course, anytime that we have something like that, we love to hate it. So the other angle on Barbie is this chick can't stand on her own 2 feet. I mean, her arches are so high that
her proportions.
She literally cannot stand.
Yeah, literally would not be able to stand a real woman with those proportions.
And she would fall over because her bust to hip to waist ratio is all off. So feminist theory on Barbie is not very positive, right? So it's a concern that we are having an unrealistic body image for women and girls, that we are suggesting that women can't stand on their own 2 feet, no matter how you dress them. All of these sorts of concerns have been raised over the years. At the same time, it's actually very interesting. One of the reasons why Barbie is so successful with kids potentially is because she can't stand on her own 2 feet. What that does is it makes the child have to be involved in the play. So then the kid herself or himself has to be engaged with the character. It's not static. It's active. It's play acting. So, you know, over the years, I have done many interviews about Barbie. And I have to actually just tell you live on air the most hilarious and horrendous one I did. Because it's been long enough now that I think I can tell the story. So somebody, I was in Pittsburgh more than a decade ago. Somebody called me to ask me about the new Barbie outfit or whatever it was. It was late in the day. I was not really paying attention. I had been doing a lot of other things. So instead of having an appropriate quote, this reporter got my unfiltered response, which was, it doesn't matter what Barbie wears. She's going to end up naked with her head off in the bathtub anyway, like all these dolls do. That went in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, folks. And I thought I was going to be fired on the spot. I was like, oh man, I really need to be more careful about this. But right, I mean, this is the thing about Barbie. I mean, I can like weave a whole story for you about the cultural significance and this and that, but kids play with dolls in all sorts of ways. You wrap them up in toilet paper, you throw them in the...
You hang them up by their feet, you cut their hair, you draw on them.
So, you know, all of this needs to be taken with a grain of salt. And yet, for parents who are going to be taking their kids to the Barbie movie this weekend, there's tons of nostalgia. There is tons of excitement. And for the theater industry, for the movie theater companies who are actually getting butts in seats this weekend, for Mattel, for the producers of this movie, and for all of the companies that have glommed on for the ride, this is really going to be a consumer boom.
Absolutely. We're talking to Christine Whelan, who is a clinical professor of consumer science at the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, Wisconsin. So going back to what you said as far as the putting into context when Barbie first came out, because like you said, it's like Barbie came out and she could do all of these things. She could buy her dream house. She could be president, all these. But this was at a time I didn't grow up with that Barbie, right? Because like I was born in the 80s. And so there was already actual ability to do anything. But like my mom, there's a great story about my mom. The first time she got a Barbie, her dad owned a toy store. All of her accessories got lost in Santa's bag because it was the display model that she got for Christmas. But you think about it, when my mom was six and got a Barbie, women couldn't have a bank account. Women weren't buying their own homes. Women didn't have credit cards. And so with feminist theory, as far as the proportions of what Barbie looks like, but also as a doll who could do anything at a time that girls and women could not, is like, I think sometimes we lose sight of how revolutionary it was.
Absolutely. Really, Barbie was ahead of her times in a lot of ways. And she was paving the way because little girls didn't know yet what they could and could not do. So if Barbie could do it, then it normalizes it. And so, yes, she really was revolutionary in that way. And the fact that she was from Willows, Wisconsin and doing that is also, I think, really significant, right? She is the every girl. She's coming from the Midwest heartland and she's going on to do all this stuff. One of the things that I love about the Barbie dream house is that she and Ken do not co-own it. That is all Barbie. It is only her name on the deed. She is all about this.
Well, and so that's also what I think, at least what it seems like a lot of what the movie's going to explore is, Ken is this like total secondary character in the Barbie narrative of like, unlike the real world where often women are accessories to men and their successes, mm-hmm. and they're the main story. And then it's their wives or their girlfriends or whatever. It's like all of the Kens don't have like, I think you can gather from some of the trailers, I haven't seen it yet, are accessories to Barbie.
They're himbos.
Yeah.
And very cute himbos.
Very cute.
So, you know, right, exactly. So now we have male eye candy. Now men as an accessory. So this is why this movie actually is going to really fit in at the right time for our culture as well, right? Because it's this explosion of pink, this explosion of women's empowerment. And rather than this idea of being meek and mild and girly, this is, or even rather than an explosion of, I have to dress a certain way to be admitted into the C-suite and to be seen as equal to men. This is Barbie saying, I'm pink, I'm fabulous, he's my accessory, let's go, girls.
I'm so excited for this. So are you surprised, as far as someone who's been talking, like you said, 10 years ago you were giving quotes about Barbie. Are you surprised it took this long to make a Barbie movie? There's been movies made for kids that stars Barbie. There's been video games. There's been so many consumer products that are Barbie themed. But I think this is like the first major narrative film about Barbie, which is surprising, right?
It is surprising. It's also really fitting for our time right now because we have parents who are very nostalgic, right? So we have parents who have disposable income and who have nostalgia for their own childhood and want to relive it in a way that I don't know that we were really sort of culturally programmed to do in previous generations. We were sort of putting the past aside in previous generations, but now we have us parents who just took our kids to Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, yeah. The Judy Blume movie. And we've shared everything from the My Little Ponies had their own show and a remix. I saw my kids watching Thundercats. I was like, wait, what? So so all of these things of our 80s and 90s childhoods are really turning into money makers. So I think, yes, this is why the idea of a sort of nod to the past, but also a nod to the future and a sort of real entrenching of the Barbie brand into the next generation. It's a pretty smart move.
That is really, that's super interesting. It makes me immediately think my husband's really into sports cards and he's hosted now two sports card shows. And like, so much of what brings him joy when he sees it is mostly fathers there with their kids. And like, it is like the tradition of like, I was super into sports cards and now you're super into sports cards and we can go to these events together and we can make a YouTube video, videos. Yeah. Like the bonding of it, of like that, like nostalgia for it that gives you a connection to your kids.
This is really important, but this is also really savvy consumerism. This is a great way to build the brand, to continue to have new customers, and then also to bring Barbie into the future as a whole new look. I don't think this is necessarily going to be a syrupy sweet movie. It'll be interesting to see where the edges are and how it makes comments about our current culture.
Absolutely, especially because Greta Gerwig is known for that. Well, with the 2 minutes that we have left, I know we also mentioned before you came on that the other side of this coin this weekend is Oppenheimer, which is going to be excellent, but I imagine a little darker.
Yes. So I think this combination, I'm not sure if it was intentional, but it really, I think, says a lot about our American nostalgia for World War II and the World War II period. And not necessarily always in a positive way, right? It was a time of fear, right? In a nuclear era. And then also potentially optimistic consumerism and consumer culture. So we have kind of both all in one. And what I've heard, the recommendation is watch Oppenheimer first with a black coffee in hand, and then pour some pink champagne and rock right into the Barbie movie.
There you go. That sounds like an excellent, excellent weekend. All right, Christine, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll definitely have you back to talk about more happiness, self-help, consumerism. This was wonderful.
So great to be on. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right, we're going to take one more break. And when we come back, we will wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Life without care.
But I'm so broke.
That's so. It's California. It's cold and it's damp.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fry-yays. With WAUK.halfoffdeal.com, you'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and events. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on tickets to the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. That's right, save 50% on tickets for this year's Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd. The Milwaukee Air and Water Show continues to be Wisconsin's premier free family event of the summer and one of the top air shows in the Midwest. Gates open up at 9 a.m. both days. Have a splash with the water show from 10 to 11:30. Be amazed with the air show at 12 p.m. and witness the Blue Angels around 3 p.m. For more details about the event, log on mkeairwatershow.com. Save 50%. See the show, the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at wauk.halfoffdeal.com. That's wauk.halfoffdeal.com.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Highs level off around 83. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Slight chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 61. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 85. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Gray skies are gonna clear up. Put on a happy face.
Brush off those clouds and cheer up.
You got it.
Put on a happy face.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are rounding out today's Friday episode of As Goes Wisconsin. And as a reminder for all things Barbie, the Barbie Truck Dreamhouse Living Tour is going to stop at Mayfair Mall on Saturday. And so if you're looking for something to take your little ones to, the 2023 Barbie Truck Dreamhouse is going to be at the Mayfair Mall. And so some of Barbie's items for sale will include T-shirts, hoodies, denim jackets, baseball caps, throw blankets, totes, couch sets, lots and lots of merch. But do we have someone on the line who wants to tell a Barbie story?
We do, Debbie Bry.
Hi, Mom.
Good morning, Deb.
Hello, hello. I love today's show because I loved Barbie, and Kristen, you loved Barbie. And you may have forgotten, I heard your discussion about the electric cars and your desire for one. You probably don't remember that you were pushing for an electric car when you were about 3.5 years old, maybe 4. And you so wanted to get the Barbie, that electric Barbie dream car. And my response to you was, what on earth would you do with that car? And your response to me, your mother, was, well, I'd drive it to the club. And I knew at that point that you were going places in your life. You didn't get the car.
So I did not.
Good luck if you think about getting an electric one now.
Every time I see one of those little cars for a kid, I'm always like, man, they never got one of those.
Those things that stick with you.
No, but I still, your Barbie.
Yeah, it was.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm sorry. Oh, I was going to say, when the reason you needed it was to drive to the club, that was the end of it. There was no going in that direction.
Could you imagine me just like in the streets of our neighborhood, just like
terrorizing
like,
the neighbors?
Putting along in my little pink car trying to get to the pool.
Yeah, you would have had a pink bow in your hair, though, too, you know, so that would have been good.
That is fair.
Okay, you guys, have a great weekend.
Love you, Mom. Take care. Thanks.
I don't remember asking for, I remember wanting the car. I don't remember ever saying specifically, where would you drive this to? The club, of course. Instead of riding my bike, I would take this little plastic electric car.
Wouldn't everyone?
At 3.
Right. Mark from the SAC checking in. You can always send us a text to or call 844-967-2789. Mark says, I will see the Barbie movie when I get a chance, if only to give a huge middle finger to all the right-wingers having a meltdown over it. Sounds like a fun movie, and I can't help thinking of the song by Aqua, which is Barbie Girl. Which I considered today, but again, this has all been a tribute to Tony Bennett, who we lost at the age of 96.
Yeah. I don't actually understand why right-wingers are hating this movie so much.
Well, I think it's because, I don't, who knows?
Because they need to be angry about
or
something?
There's, you know, Barbie is a Satan worshiper. Who knows?
What did,
Maybe they don't like Ken being a himbo. Ken being the accessory, who knows?
Because I know Matt Gaetz's wife, who I don't even know what her name is. She, I think she called it like low T, like Ken's very low, like low, meaning like low testosterone.
Right.
Or beta or something like that. As, and I don't know.
We're going to go see it anyway, eventually. And there was a text from a texter from the 414. We were talking about the Waukesha Farmers Market, which is tomorrow from 8 to noon. And I will be there. Please stop by and say hello. Needed the address. So the Waukesha Farmers Market is at 125 West St. Paul, right in downtown Waukesha. It's in the parking lot of a bank.
Yeah, so it's St. It's St. Paul Avenue and Madison, between St. Paul and Madison Avenue is the cross streets.
Yeah, so come by tomorrow again, 8 until noon.
Get a scone.
Get a life-changing bacon and maple scone. I can't push that. I'm going to be a pusher now.
How many are you
going
to eat tomorrow?
Probably just one. Okay. But I might buy, like, how long do scones keep?
I don't, a day? I mean, a pastry is, how long do pastries? I mean, I guess unless you take it home, freeze it.
I don't know that scones freeze well. I'll get one.
You'll get one.
Because there's all kinds of wonderful things to eat there.
I was going to say, is there anything that you're going to be trying for the first time?
There are a couple different food trucks that I haven't hit up yet. And there's a lot of stuff there. And we are in contact with the organizers to find out if there are open spaces or whatever. And this weekend is just about full.
Oh, so it's not like, how does it work? You probably don't know this, but I'm asking in general of like the vendor organization of like, do you have to sign up for like your slot for the year? Do you pick weekends? Like, how does like the organizing of that work?
That I am not quite sure of.
Because you'd think it would just be the same people every weekend, but it sounds like not so much.
Well, and there are different farmers markets all over the place. So maybe some of these people travel as well.
What's in season right now?
I'll tell you after tomorrow.
Tell me tomorrow. Tell me all the things that you buy tomorrow.
I will.
Well, yeah, but this has been a super fun show, but it was, I loved this coming from Up North News this morning. I was reading their newsletter for the day, and they were saying, they tried to rank the most quote Wisconsin dolls on the market for Barbie. I don't know how Wisconsin these are, but you know, they tried, and these are all real Barbies that you can either were once made or still made. So there is a basketball Barbie.
Like
who,
it?
Who is made with 22 joints. So she can... I had a gymnast Barbie once. So it's
really?
Like, instead of their everything being static, it's like their ankles can move and their knees can move. And so she can actually like do things.
Right.
And so there's basketball Barbie. There's eco-minded Barbie, which... Barbie Eco Leadership Team 2022 Career of the Year 4 doll set.
What is she wearing?
So it's four different ones.
Oh.
And one's in like a construction suit. One's in like a green, like conservation type outfit. I don't know what this one, why that one's. And then one's in like a suit. Let's see. There's Politician Barbie, which was released ahead of the 2020 election. There's Chicken Farmer Barbie.
Hey, now that's Wisconsin.
Live Love Farm is the outfit, the t-shirt that she wears, and she comes with her own chicken coop playset.
She's not living on it's a communal chicken farm.
And then there is also our Orchard Farm Barbie.
I love it.
And she's in overalls, rain boots, and comes with her own little vegetable bucket.
Nice.
And I will say, kudos to the digital team or the social media team for Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She had an entire thread of Gretchen Whitmer Barbie doing things in Michigan's capital.
That's really funny.
It was pretty smart and pretty great. So go have fun. Like we said, maybe Oppenheimer first,
yeah.
Barbie second,
yeah.
Black coffee, pink champagne. If you see it, feel free to shoot us an email and tell us how much you liked it at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. As always, thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you to Christine Whelan, Greg Nament, and of course, Dom Salvia for joining the show today. We'll be back on Monday. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand?
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5